Hello, I'm Binay Nauden, and this is The Process. I've always been fascinated by people who make things. You know, I always like to visit artist studios, crafts places, you know, artisans' homes. The process of making, of creating something, and the work involved in doing it has always been very interesting to me. And in Eastern Connecticut, we have open studios frequently, and there are open studios everywhere. And if I happen to be in a place where there's an open studio event, I often go, and I enjoy talking to the artists. And I met our next guest at one of these open studios. I think I had been familiar with her work before, and I liked her work. And so when I met her, I engaged her in conversation. And years later, I am inviting her here to speak with us about her work. So Annie Wendell has been a working artist for about 40 years, and she lives in the Windham area and shows her work all around Connecticut, and has worked mostly in painting, but has also made wooden houses, which she first started as a gift to her mom. She made a house that was in Mansfield Hollow, where her mother lived, and about 5 years ago started doing these floor cloths, which were used in the 18th century and the early 19th century to protect the floors, maybe in kitchens and things like that. She also creates runners and stuff, and she uses traditional styles or designs that she's found, but also creates her own. She's quite popular in the area. A lot of people know who she is. They know her work. Annie was married for 40 years, and a couple of years after her husband passed away, she started working at the Willimantic Public Library. So some of you listening out there may know Annie from her days at the circulation desk and shelving books and things like that, and answering questions with a very pleasant demeanor. One of her first jobs in the 1960s was working for a department store in the complaints department, which is very funny since she's very pleasant. So she was probably very good at handling all of the complaints. And she also helped with orders. So anyway, some of you out there will probably already know Annie. So this will be an interesting introduction or getting to know her better opportunity. Okay, here goes nothing. I'm here with local artist Annie Wendell. I have known Annie for several years, and I really enjoy her artwork. And so I invited her in today to talk a little bit about what she does and how she does it and all that. So welcome, Annie.
Thank you, Binay.
So
nice to be here.
So how and when did you get into painting?
Well, I always wanted to paint from the time I was a very small child. I'm not sure why. My parents collected art paintings, and I think that possibly influenced me. Other than that, I just have always been drawn to painting. When I was a little girl, I would take the bus. I lived in Arlington, Virginia, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C., and I would just take the bus into Washington. It was safe to do that in the 50s. And my idea was fun was to go to the National Gallery of Art and wander around. And I usually just looked at paintings for some reason. I would try to pick out my favorite artists and see what I liked about the work.
How old were you at that time where you were taking the bus in?
I was probably around 10 or 11, 12. I don't know. I went to school in Washington, too, so I was a little familiar with it.
Well, that's kind of cool that you did that sort of out of your own.
Yeah, I just discovered those places. Well, I'm sure my mother probably took me, and then I knew where they were, so I would go.
I think you studied something different, you know, when you got older and went to college, you were on a different path.
Yeah, well, I was rather young. I graduated from high school at 15, and so I kind of just did whatever my mother told me to do, basically. And she said, you're going to be a doctor, and so you go into pre-med. And I did that for a couple years, and then I rebelled. And I changed my major to art. But then I had met my future husband, and we ended up eloping when I was 18. So my mother's dreams went out the window, I'm afraid. She was a little bit upset, to tell you the truth.
I can imagine she was.
But, yeah, so then I did that. But I didn't start painting. I dabbled, but I never really did any serious work at all until I was almost 40. I just drifted along until I realized that time was passing by and I wasn't doing anything.
Huh. And were you a housewife or did you work?
Yeah. No, I was a housewife. Mother, I had four children, so I was busy. You know.
Yeah. And did you paint a little bit during those years?
I did, yeah. And in the 70s, I took some lessons from a man. Oh, that's when we lived on Long Island. And who was a businessman, actually, but another frustrated artist. And he taught me how to start a painting. He had studied at the Art Students League, and he wanted to be an artist, too. But anyway, he had to support himself. So he gave lessons. And that was when I learned how to start a painting.
So what do you mean by starting a painting? Can you kind of explain what you mean by that?
I would get a canvas and start trying to do something, but I really didn't know what I was doing. So he showed me this method that they used then, which I still follow, and it's a two-step process. Where you do the drawing on the canvas or wood or wherever you're going to use, and then you cover the canvas, you coat it with an undercoat of some color. At that time, he started me with Payne's Gray, but I later on decided I would kind of experiment, and I tried Cad Orange, and that really worked for me. So I still do that. I do that undercoat with Cad Orange. Then you wipe out the light parts with a cloth, just roughly. I mean, it's not a detailed drawing. It's a rough drawing. But you've placed things on the canvas the way you want them. And then you go back and you paint in the darks, the shadows, anything that would be in shadow or dark. And then you paint in some white very light spots. Then you let that dry. And then you go in. When it's dry, you start the final painting.
And this is an oil or acrylic?
Oil.
Oil. Okay.
Yeah.
I had never heard of that. So so the undercoat, what does the undercoat actually do? Can you kind of explain that?
Well, it gives it, I feel it gives it life and it gives it depth. I've had people come into the studio and see it when I've just gone that far. And they think I finished the painting, and they are ready to say, "Wow, that's looking good." But I never leave it like that. I always go on with the next step.
Uh huh. But the next step is also adding all the colors, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you said at 40, so something sort of triggered you at 40 or around 40 that you really felt like you needed to do this.
Yeah. Well. I guess I realized that I wasn't going to last forever. And, you know, I mean, I've been fortunate because now I've been painting. I'm almost 80, so I've been painting. I've had the chance to paint for 40 years, which is a pretty good time frame. But, yeah, I just realized that I wasn't going forward. And it was probably a terrible time to do it because I had two of my children were toddlers. So it was tricky. I originally started thinking I'll try to work 15 minutes a day. And yeah, and believe it or not. And
did you do that?
And I did that.
For how long?
Not for too long. Well, until they got into school. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes I could extend it out depending on how things were going.
And what 15 minutes of the day did you do this
I always at? Do the mornings. That's when I think, you know, I'm fresher and have energy and not tired.
I think it would be hard to do it in such small increments over such a long time, wouldn't it?
It's odd. It worked. Believe it or not, I got paintings done. I did.
And did they come out as you hoped, or?
Some didn't. Some did. You know, I had a lot to learn. I mean, I had that method that I started with, but I still had lots and lots to learn. And, yeah, I had a lot that didn't come out the way I'd hoped, you know. But.
Did you continue taking classes, or did you just continue
no,
on your
I
own?
No, I just worked on my own.
Wow. Yeah. That's really great. So for me, what I know you most for is your scenes of Willimantic. And those were done, I believe, mostly in the 80s, late 70s,
yes.
Early 80s,
yeah,
something like that?
That's what I started with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before then, what were you painting?
I tried still lifes, you know, flowers. I couldn't quite really land on something I really enjoyed painting. And it wasn't until I discovered, I started just accidentally, was desperate for a subject. And I went out with my camera and ended up in Willimantic.
Where were you living at the time?
We were living in Windham, outside, you know, 4 miles east of Willimantic, a little village. And I ended up in Willimantic, and that's when I discovered what I like to paint, because I suddenly realized this is what I like, buildings and streets. I love this. So, and you know, other artists, it seems as if they all zero in on something eventually, like they're famous for their flowers or their portraits or something like that. But that's what I found I liked.
And you explained that you would take photos and then you would go home and work in the studio.
Yes.
Did you have a studio at the time?
Yeah. Well, eventually I started off in a little corner of a room. And then as I worked, I realized I needed my own studio. So one day when my husband was out, I took all the furniture out of my living room and made it into my studio because that was the best light. I chose the room with what I thought would be the most light because I like to work with natural light.
Okay, so by the 70s, how old were you when the 70s rolled around?
30. Okay. In 1970, I was 30.
Okay,
I was born
in
1940.
So in the late 70s is when you actually really got going.
Yes.
And so it was Willimantic that triggered that for you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I started with that. And I did that for a long time. I've actually done hundreds of paintings of Willimantic.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy them. So for me, those paintings, a lot of them, or most of them, I would think, don't include people.
That's right. I did not. I never put. It actually wasn't a conscious decision. Looking back, I think I was afraid that I couldn't paint people. I had never tried it. Well, I had tried it. I had done little paintings of my children, things like that when they were little. But I didn't think they were that great. So, yeah, I did that. But I don't know. Someone commented on it one time, and I kind of said, oh, yeah, you're right. I have hardly any time have I put people in my paintings.
Right. Well, for me, it makes me think of Hopper because of the subject matter, you know, the brick, you know,
yeah.
the city's American, a very American city, mm-hmm. and the fact that there's no people, there's sort of an emptiness,
yeah.
A solitude kind
yeah.
of feeling about it. I love it, personally.
Yeah.
And I just find that so interesting that, you know, it's that way. Yeah. Was Hopper any influence on you at all?
I think he was, yeah, because I love his work all still. You know, I always have loved his work. He's one of my favorite artists.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think he definitely shows through in those paintings, at least. Yeah. But you haven't just done that. You went through different phases, so...
Yep.
Or you have been through different phases since then. So can you talk a little bit about the different things that you have done?
Well, yes, I've done what I call bird's eye view paintings. And those were as a result of walking down to the green where I live, a little village in Windham, and admiring everything about it, but realizing or finding that I'm trying to figure out how I could paint the whole green, show the whole green, not just show one side or the other. And so I put a lot of thought into it and suddenly got the idea that I could fly over the green. If I were a pie, I could see everything. And so I started doing a whole series of flying in from the west and the east and so forth.
And I believe some of them ended up on calendars or on brochures, or maybe even phone books.
Oh, gosh. Oh, you know, I think you're right. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I recall seeing them on phone books. I don't know. It was the local phone book that used to profile an artist.
Yeah, I must have that somewhere, but uh-huh. Yeah, I forgot about it.
And
yeah.
I believe you had also cards printed or I don't know. Did you?
I've had prints made of Mansfield Hollow. I've had prints made of that, and I did have cards. Yeah, I've done a few, and I've done some of Mansfield Center mm-hmm. and Windham Center, mm-hmm. a couple of Windham Center. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's another phase of the bird's eye view paintings. And then what happened next? What did you explore next?
Well, I had the opportunity to do some paintings of Maine. My cousin lives up there, and he asked me to do some for his gift shop. And so I went up and took photographs, and that's when I started doing water. And that was a challenge. I had never done water, and I had to figure out how to make water look like water. So I've done a lot of those. Deer Isle, Maine is subject I've pretty much done. And then after that, I was driving down Main Street in Willimantic and admiring all those nice old buildings along Main Street and thinking, oh, that would be a great thing to paint. But how could I do that? I would really like the silhouette of the roof lines and the chimneys and so forth. So I thought, how could I do that? And I thought I could if I put it on a board, because I would like to cut it out with a saw. So I went home, I grabbed a board and cleaned it off, sanded it, did a drawing on it, and then I cut it out with a jigsaw. And I've done a whole series of paintings on those boards.
I believe one is somewhere in Willimantic on display, a permanent display. Is that not correct?
I have some at Eastern has three of them.
Uh-huh. Where are they located?
I'm not sure where they are, but yeah, where else do I have them?
Do you have one in City Hall at all, in Town Hall?
I don't have any wooden pieces. I have a couple paintings at Town Hall, Willimantic. It's called Windham Courthouse. It's the name of the building.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But those aren't the wood pieces?
No.
Uh-huh. Were any of them large format, or were they depended, or what?
The wooden pieces are pretty much the same. They're different lengths, pretty much the same width, mm-hmm. between like 12 and 15. I was able to get some wider boards from a sawmill and season them and do that. But then out of that grew, I started doing portraits on wood. That came from that. Like it's like one thing leads to another, really. So my husband wanted me to do his portrait, and I thought it sounded. I wasn't interested in doing it at all. It sounded really dull. I picture this man sitting at a desk or something, holding his pencil or something. And I go, oh, no, I can't do that. So then he said, what if you did me on a board? And that sounded great. But I still was a little nervous because I'd never done people. But in the meantime, I had discovered an artist named Alice Neal. N-E-E-L is how you spell her name. She's a portraitist. She's passed away now, but I loved her portraits. And so I said, boy, if I could do them the way she did them, I would try it.
Can you describe what you were trying to capture? What did Alice Neal do that you wanted to kind of get at?
Her style. I just liked her style.
Was it very realistic?
It was not super realistic. It was, I don't know how to describe it, except it was down to earth, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And she would capture the personality, I thought, very well. But she had her own style that I just love.
Mm-hmm. And how many of these portraits did you end up making?
I think I did about 8 of them.
Didn't you do a self-portrait of yours?
I did a self-portrait. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that in your house?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in my studio.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it before. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And why did you stop doing that? Was it just too much work or you were not that interested or?
I don't know. I just went on to other things. I could still do. I've often thought about doing one of my mother.
And tell me a little bit about your mom.
Well, my mom was a professor at UConn for many years. She taught children's literature. Her name was Francelia Butler, and she was pretty well known professor. So, and she was a great mom too. She let me take the bus by myself to Washington,
and she let you rebel
and elope.
She forgave you for all your trespasses.
Yeah. Yeah, she was well. The thing about her, she had a great sense of humor, and she was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
A lot of fun too.
Did you ever paint her ever?
I never painted her, and
so that's something you would like to do.
I've thought of it. I've even looked through photographs to try to get an idea about how I could do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that will be an interesting painting when you get around to it. Because you'll put a lot of yourself into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go on to the next phase. You went through the wooden phase of these portraits and cityscapes.
Yep.
And then?
Well, from those wooden pieces of Main Street, Willimantic, I kind of do this a lot. I study things and try to get ideas. And I analyzed those paintings and said, well, what do I like best about them, doing them? And I realized what I really liked was the reflections in the windows, the store windows. And I mean, they're interesting, you know, that you'll see a car in the window or whatever, different things.
And they're
trees,
sort of distorted.
Yeah,
and
sort of, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, what if I just do the windows? And so we were planning a trip to New Orleans, and so I took my camera and I took a lot of pictures of just windows there. And the interesting, and then I ended up doing big, those seem to call for big, large canvases.
How large are you talking?
At least 30 by 40 or something like that. Anyway, what's interesting about those is they're a departure from what I did before in a way because first of all, I had to figure out how to make that the reflection look like a reflection, not just a flat painting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to do, and I had a few things that didn't work out, and I kept trying it.
I have a question about how you figured it out. What were you specifically zooming in on? What kind of things did you pick up that you knew you had to do?
There are highlights that you have to kind of blend with the other paintings. Sometimes you have to work wet a little bit to make that work.
Mm-hmm. And also, are there maybe imperfections in the glass that you can work
it could
on?
Be.
But
could
is that
be.
Something that you know?
I don't know. I was working from a photograph.
Okay.
But you can't just reproduce that. You have to really stand back and keep going back and forth and really studying it to see what works and what really looks. Just like with the water, you have to say, what makes that look the way it looks? And the interesting thing about those is when you're looking at a window, you may not realize when you're looking in a store window, you're usually looking at what's on display. But you also see what's behind you reflected. And that is this possibly is the sky, trees, cars, people. And that's what makes the painting interesting. You know, you have a curious juxtaposition of objects.
Right, you sort of three planes. You have the window, the thing inside of the window, and the reflection.
And the reflection.
Oops. Yeah.
So you sometimes wind up, I've wound up with a person walking along who has an apple instead of a head. You know, because
oh,
whatever,
yeah, cool.
or a lampshade or something like that. And so I think they're kind of quirky.
Uh-huh. I don't know that I may have seen one of those. Did you sell all of those? Or
no, I still have some. I have some of New Orleans ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a New York one, I think. I have a big New York one that, yeah, I still have.
And, uh-huh. And yeah. What was the first painting you sold, actually?
Back in the 80s, I had started doing Willimantic, and it was a painting of Walnut Street called Walnut Street Blues. And that we used to do, when I joined the Paint and Palette Club fairly early on, Willimantic Paint and Palette was really a nice group of women and men. And we had a great show on Memorial Park every August. Very well attended, very popular, successful show. And the town would hang snow fencing in the park so we could hang our paintings up if we didn't have a special setup. And so I went down there and hung my paintings on the snow fencing. And, yeah, and someone came along, bought my Walnut Street Blues painting.
And did that sort of spur you on more on that level of maybe commercial?
Yeah, it was a good feeling to sell, you know, to know somebody else likes it enough to want to have it. The first thing that really encouraged me, oddly enough, was in that show. It might have been the year before. I had done a painting of my cat, and I got a prize. It was $5. And that really was exciting.
I can imagine when you're really trying to
I'd
do.
I've never shown anything before, and you know you're kind of nervous, and yeah.
Well, you've come a long way.
Well, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about where you've exhibited your work. I mean, I've seen it around here.
I've exhibited at all the local. I mean, Connecticut. Or most of the Connecticut art clubs. I've kind of dropped out of that scene a bit, but I used to be an artist member of Mystic, Lyme, Essex, Connecticut Women Artists, Connecticut Academy of Fine Arts.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you have to bring your work in to a board or a committee, and you have to be accepted to be in a member.
Yep.
And then they have regular shows, and I did a lot of their shows. Oh, and the Slater. I used to do the Slater.
Is the Slater in Norwich?
In Norwich.
Uh-huh.
They had a big show every
it's
year.
It's the Mill?
It's at Norwich Free Academy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a very interesting museum.
Oh, I've never been there.
You should go. It's great.
Okay.
They have reproductions of the most famous sculptures in the world there. Now, well, actually, plaster casts of those sculptures.
Huh.
And you couldn't do that now, but they've got them there. It's probably the only place here that has them. But, I used to show there, and I was the first person to win, or I don't know if I was the only one or the first person to win the first place at their show twice. And that got you a one-person show at their gallery.
Wonderful.
So I was able to do that. So, yeah. So, and I used to show an exhibit in all those shows that they did, but I don't like to travel around so much anymore, so I just...
And have you shown in Maine since some of your work was done in Maine?
I just was in my cousin's shop up there, yeah. I didn't really pursue that particularly. Yeah. Oh, I've shown in New York, too, New York City. I used to show at the National Arts Club. I did shows there every year. And we just, not too long ago, a couple of years ago, the artist at Swiftwater Artisans, of which I am a member, cooperative in Willimantic, the visual artists were invited to show at a gallery down on the Lower East Side. And we took our stuff down, we packed it up in Richard Wolf's van, and we all took our stuff down there. It was great.
And how long was the show on for?
It was on for at least a month or so, month and a half, I think. Because they extended it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And oftentimes in shows, they'll have a guest book. Was there a guest book at that show?
Yeah.
And did you have a chance to read?
I did, yeah.
And did you have any favorable comments on your work?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember offhand, but...
How many artists were in that show?
Oh, there were probably about 10, maybe.
All from the Windham area?
Most of them were, yeah. And most were from Swiftwater's, photographers too. But we also recruited a few. We didn't have quite enough, so we recruited a few extras.
Okay.
But they're all from this area, yeah.
All right.
It was a good show, really.
So now you're working on different things. You're working on several things, as I know. Some mm-hmm. stuff that you've done more recently that you're still working on a little bit, and some new stuff.
Yeah, I started a series called My Favorite Snacks, and it was, there's still lifes, but with the twist, I put actual products in their packages in my painting, products that I find have amusing names, like Taifu tea or Akmak crackers or things like that. I just did a painting called, well, it's for Matisse crackers and Peter Pan peanut butter. So the title is Matisse and Peter Pan, which I think makes it kind of an interesting couple. But, yeah, I do that. I'm doing those, and I'm still doing those. Those are really fun to do. And
are they small?
Usually small, yeah. And then the other thing I've started is something I've always wanted to do, and that is interiors. So I've just started doing interiors.
Okay, but those interiors are really in your house, or are they in other places?
So far, they've been in my house.
Are you looking to do other places?
I may. I haven't quite worked that out. Yeah, and I'm also trying to change my palette a bit. I want to have something that's very lighthearted. So I'm working on that.
So you're
in the works.
So you're exploring sort of more pastel tones, pinks and blues and greens.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's an ongoing thing right now. Through the years, I've found that I have to really put a lot of thought into what I do before I do it. There's a lot of mental work there, and once I figure it out, then I can go on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's a typical day for you as a painter?
Well, I get up early and take a walk, and then I have coffee and so forth. But then I try to get in my studio as soon as possible, you know, in the mornings, 8 to 9. Get in there and just start working. Work on my painting, whatever I'm working on, until, say, around lunchtime, around 12 or 1. If it's going well, I might go a little longer. But usually my energy starts to lag, and that's long enough to work, you know.
And then in the afternoon, you just relax and see people?
Yeah, or I might go out and photograph or do other things. But a lot of its work is art-related, but maybe not in my studio.
What is the best thing about what you do? either on a creative level or on a personal level. What is the best thing about it?
Well, on the creative level, of course, is turning out something that I really think is almost a masterpiece. And then the other part of it is what's happened the whole time is the people I've met. Wonderful, interesting people. It's just made such a great difference in my life. I when I first joined Paint and Palette and I found out there were other people like me out there, it was just wonderful. I came home so happy. And I couldn't wait to go to the meetings and meet people and have shows. It just opened up a world that I didn't know was there.
Wow. And I know you do open studios. And how is that for you? Because you do it pretty much every year, don't you?
I think I've done it every year, practically since it started. I don't know if I was in it the first year, but when we first started, there were only about 8 of us. And we course all knew each other, and we went to each other's studios that week before and to see what each other had done and had a potluck supper, and it was just a small group. Then, of course, it's grown over the years, so don't do that anymore, because I usually do both weekends. It's good for me because I really don't have at this point a lot of venues to sell my art or to show my art, so that's my chance. And people come that I've never met. People come, old friends come from haven't seen for years. So it's really a great chance to catch up with a lot of people those 2 weekends.
And can you remind us when the Open Studios takes place?
It's always the weekend after Thanksgiving and the following weekend.
So it's great for Christmas shopping. That's why I go oftentimes. Or for a special treat for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I have many people drop by and we just sit and talk and it's great. And they look to see what I've done. But the primary thing is just catching up with old friends. A lot of artists come.
So. Yeah. All right, I think we'll finish with this last question here. We've covered quite a bit of ground. What's been one of your best experiences as an artist and why?
Oh, my gosh.
Or you've had several best experiences.
Yeah.
What's like the ultimate best that you can think of? Or the top three, maybe?
Well, I would say meeting people and making friends with other artists have been my best experiences.
And the $5 prize.
And the $5 prize. That was it.
Well, it sounds good to me. I really appreciate you have taken the time to talk
thanks.
To me.
That was great.
And I hope everybody enjoys this. Annie has been one of my favorite local artists, and I'm thrilled to have had her in here. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Goodbye. Until next time. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed hearing about local artist Annie Wendell. I'd like to thank WHUS Stores for making this podcast possible and those who have guided me through the process. Next week, I'll be talking to visual effects producer Mike Chambers. Hope you'll tune in. Thanks.